You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. What's happening at the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you say? Well, let's find out. Let's go to Kip Allen live at the convention in Milwaukee. Good morning, Kip.
Good morning to you, Andy. And as you said, we're at the Wisconsin Center in Milwaukee, and this is the 66th regular convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. A lot is going on. A lot's happening, a lot of spiritual things, and a lot of joyous things as well, and looking at some problems ahead. One of my guests today is Laura Davis, who's sitting right next to me with Lutherans for Life. Laura, tell me about yourself and about the Lutherans for Life organization.
Glad to be here, Kip. Yes, my name is Laura Davis. I'm the director of Y for Life, which is the youth and young adult program at Lutherans for Life. If you haven't heard of Lutherans for Life before, we're an organization that equips Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. So we teach them about how much God loves life, and we help them understand how they can share that message with others. I specifically share that with high school and college students at our Lutheran universities, Concordia universities, and our high schools.
Any from the outside, any secular groups that are want to hear your message, or do you just talk to the Lutheran
groups? Well, we pretty much focus on the Lutherans. There are so many wonderful pro-life organizations out there that do great work, but we feel like we have a uniquely Lutheran message that is geared towards our Lutheran students, geared towards our Lutheran congregation members, and it's a message that they are equipped to share. It's a message that they have an opportunity to share with the world around them. And so we want to keep that Lutheran identity in sharing that message.
Well, one of the things I've noticed, for example, with the Lutheran for Life March is how the age of the marchers goes down, down, down. And in the last one, there was the last march, the people in the front were Lutherans for Life, all young people holding up the banner, marching down the hill. It was an inspiring sight.
Originally, it was supposed to be a Lutheran high school from Fort Wayne, but they got their travel plans messed up by the blizzard. So
yeah,
we kind of filled in with Concordia students and other Lutheran high school students that were there for the march. But yeah, that's been an increasing trend of young people. Our movement is young, they're vibrant, they're excited. I brought some numbers for you about the pro-life movement.
Ooh.
And young people.
I'd love to hear those numbers.
Oblige me, yes.
Absolutely.
So there was a recent poll put out by one of those great organizations I was telling you about, Students for Life of America. And about 4 years ago, they surveyed millennials. So my generation, those 20, 30-somethings. They surveyed those millennials, and they found some great numbers. They did it again just this year, and they found that the number of people who support bans on abortion or limits on abortion has increased by 9 percentage points, and this is just within those millennials. So it's now that 53% of millennials believe abortion should be illegal or in all or most circumstances. Now, they don't necessarily identify as pro-life, but they have the spirit. They understand that life is precious. They understand that life should be protected, and that's just a very encouraging number to see.
From beginning of conception to the natural end of life.
From womb to tomb is what we like to say.
Laura, I know that you don't follow politics that much, that your passion is in other areas, but there was this horrible ruling at the Supreme Court recently on the whole woman's health issue, which essentially said the court reversed itself in a 1992 ruling where it said that, yes, states can regulate abortion. Now they're saying, well, we didn't really mean it.
Right.
And in this particular ruling, the court decided that abortion clinics don't have to maintain health standards.
Right. So there was the 92 decision was the Planned Parenthood versus Casey.
Casey, correct.
Where they said that states could regulate abortion as long as it didn't put an undue burden on women. And what Whole Women's Health did was actually define what that undue burden means, put more of a restriction on what an undue burden actually is. So the Texas law basically said that there had to be certain surgical standards that clinics met that most were not meeting. And it also said that the doctors who were performing the procedures, performing the abortions, had to have admitting privileges. And to us, this is simple common sense. You want to protect women's health, you want to protect women. But for them, it meant clinics were going to close, and that is an undue burden. Women would have to travel farther. And the courts decided that wasn't acceptable. It was a 5-3 decision.
Which is very disappointing.
Which is very disappointing.
What was the reaction of your friends when you'd heard this thing? This is probably one of the worst setbacks the pro-life movement has had in the last 25 years.
Yeah, it's very mixed. A lot of my friends are from Texas. That's where I grew up. I went to Texas A&M, got my start in the pro-life movement with a lot of the people who are actually in Texas trying to pass these laws. So, of course, they were very disappointed. But I was amazed to see the almost immediate joy in, we still have a job to do. This isn't going to stop us. This is a setback, of course, but our job doesn't change. We're still going to keep fighting. We're still going to keep being that voice for life.
And obviously you, like many of us, believe ultimately we're going to win this fight.
Absolutely. We believe that our salvation is not in 5 Supreme Court justices or 8 Supreme Court justices. And if this decision told us anything, it doesn't really matter who we appoint next. It was a 5-3 decision. It would have been the same decision. So our hope doesn't lie in those men and women on the Supreme Court. Our hope lies with Christ, and that doesn't change. We always say at Lutherans for Life that we're fighting a battle that's already been won. The victory is already ours in Christ, and we just have the privilege to share that message with others. And I tell my students that all the time, to kind of take the pressure off. Do your work, do it well, do it with joy, but remember that the battle's already been won. Christ has already won that ultimate victory over death, and that's exactly the message that hurting people need to hear. That's exactly the message that people that are struggling with life issues need to hear, is that Jesus is the Lord of life. Life is beautiful because God created it, because Christ redeemed it. And that's just a wonderful thing and a joyous thing to be able to share with the world around us.
There was a wonderful discovery recently. You may have seen this on the internet about, at the moment of conception, there's a flash of light. Did you see that?
I've seen some conflicting reports about the science of that. But in my own experience, I was a intern at a crisis pregnancy center, a pregnancy resource center in Linwood, Washington. And we did an ultrasound on a woman who was only about 5 weeks along. Usually we waited a little longer, but we thought she was farther along. And all you could see on that image was a little flashing light. And that little flashing light was the heartbeat.
Wow.
So even at that very early stage, 5 weeks, she had just figured out she was pregnant. You couldn't see anything else, but she had tears in her eyes seeing that evidence of life right there at that early, early stage.
That must have been an amazing thing to see, the expression on her face when she realized that she was going to give birth to a new life, that it was actually there inside of her, a new person.
Seeing that reality just made all the difference for her and made all the difference for me.
Well, it's amazing that the entire life concept, from, as you said, from womb to tomb. Of course, we had the courageous and sad and yet joyous example of Maggie Carner. Mm-hmm. You will recall there was that other woman out in California who had the same disease, glioblastoma, who elected to take her own life rather than use the time that God had given her to spend with her family. Maggie wrote this wonderful, touching, open letter, which I'm sure you have read.
I did.
And she stayed with it to the end. And the courage and the joy with which Maggie fought, and that brings the entire life battle, I think, into focus. You're focusing on the one end, Maggie focused on the other, but it's all the same cause, all the same fight.
Well, and I would say that even Y for Life, even working with young people, we focus on both ends of the issue. I talk to my students about all the different facets of the life issues. So we talk about abortion a lot because that's what they're hearing a lot of. Mm-hmm. But most recently, I've been talking about end of life a lot. There was a romantic drama that came out recently called Me Before You, and that spurred a lot of conversations with students of mine who went to go see the movie or are interested in seeing the movie and had no idea the message that it was going to send, had no idea the agenda that it had. So I've seen young people not only excited about protecting life at the beginning, but more and more excited about protecting life at the end and protecting the lives of those with disabilities, the lives of those that look a little different than us or have different challenges, seeing that they're still wonderful children of God. And even on a secular side of things, they're individuals with human rights that need to be respected.
And sometimes the other side says, well, there are no rights not until they're born. And even then, there's some question about it. there's been there have been some states now that have enacted laws that have said abortion for reasons of, say, Down syndrome or gender selection.
Right.
And that, I think, it may well be the next battlefield. I see the other side would be willing to challenge that.
Well, and just those conversations with students that I have, when you bring up those Down syndrome statistics, that 90% of prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome end in abortion, or when you hear about countries in Europe that claim to eradicate Down syndrome because they get their abortion rate to 100%, that really gets the gears turning in people's heads. You mentioned that, and they can automatically, as a compassionate human being, recognize there's something wrong with that. And if they can recognize that there's something wrong with that, it's just a little bit farther to get them to recognize that there's something wrong with that when you're talking about someone who's in poverty or someone that's still in school or all the different reasons why we say abortion is justified. It's just a little bit farther.
Yeah, the social justice warriors will get up with their eye, or that person's in poverty, that person's in pain, but, oh, that person shouldn't have been born. And it's an interesting point, I think, about specifically with Down syndrome. I think most of us know people or have family members who have suffered from something like Down syndrome or another birth defect, and yet see how could they imagine a life without these people in their lives? You know, they're the family members, the people who love. If you've had any time around Down syndrome children, notice they are especially affectionate.
Right.
And sweet children.
Although very good friends of mine, their son has Down syndrome, and they always say that, you know, his life is not valuable because he's extra happy or because he's, you know, a sweet kid. He's wonderful because he's extra happy and a sweet kid, but his life is valuable because it's his life, because God gave it to him. And that's no different than if I was an angry, you know, grumpy person all the time, my life
like
would
me,
still,
right?
My life would still have value.
It would. And there is a wonderful lesson to see these children. I had a very good friend whose son was had, as she said, I have a son who has Down syndrome. I don't have Down syndrome. I have a son who has Down syndrome. And this boy was such a joy to be around. I mean, he was always smiling. He was always up. He had no conception that there was something different about him. He just had joy every day of his life. And what a lesson for people like you and me who sometimes get up and say,
to live life with that joy. And I think that's the ultimate message, is that when we hear about, you know, these social justice warriors saying abortion should be legal for these reasons, that's just a call to us as Christians to make those reasons irrelevant, to provide those support for women and children and families in need, to provide that support so people feel like they don't have to make that choice. Women don't want to make that choice. Even when you talk about the other end of life, people don't want to make that choice to end their life. They want to know that they're going to be loved and protected and cared for. And that's our job as Christians.
Well, one thing I remember Maggie had said, I believe her father had suffered a terrible injury and was paralyzed. And in the final year of his life, she said that he had given the family so much in that last year, even though he was paralyzed and could do very little about it. But the way it brought the family together to share this and to listen to him tell the story of the family and to just enjoy. And that's so much the lesson of the preciousness of life. Lori, how can people get in touch with your organization?
Yes, they can check us out online at www.lutheransforlife.org. And if they want to learn specifically about Y for Life and our youth ministry, it's www.y4life, the letter Y, the number 4, life.
And you have organizations around the country that will help and go and talk to these people and let them know.
We have representatives, people who would be more than happy to share this message with your congregation or school.
That's wonderful. Lori, thank you so much for joining us on this
and
for sharing this message. And God bless you for the work that you have done and the lives that you will save.
Thank you very much.
God bless you. Andy, that's what's going on here at this end. Do you have any questions for Lori, or do you want to take it away from this point?
Lori, we have just about a minute left. What's going on at convention that you think makes a difference for Y for Life and Lutherans for Life and just life issues in general among Lutherans?
I have just seen an enormous positive response from the people here at the convention coming and talking to us at our booth. There was a wonderful presentation by a man yesterday talking about the impact of the Obergefell decision, but also its impact on life and our Christian responsibility. So I think there's been a great emphasis on our role as Christians in this world and how we can live our lives as an example for those around us and how that makes all the difference.
Laura, thanks so much for being our guest today. Laura Davis, director of Why for Life, LutheransForLife.org. Kip, we'll check in just under an hour.
Okay, I'll be here.
Thanks very much. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily lectionary. Hope you can join us for that, listeners, as well. We're going to head to Westfield, Massachusetts today. We'll study with Pastor Riley there. Hope you can join us for more of his time coming up right after this break on Worldwide KFUO.